Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Living Stones Church in Boise, Idaho. We are a gospel-centered church that exists to help everyone find everything in Jesus. Listen now as one of our pastors teaches verse by verse through a passage of Scripture.
Today we're reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The word of the Lord. Join me, if you will, for prayer. Lord, help us as a church to follow your words, to not just call out, Lord, Lord, but to seek you and raise our hands to you and to build upon your foundation. As a church, as individuals, as our inner communities, each of us need to have you as our foundation. So help us as we dive into this passage to hear what you have to say, to empower Kirk with your spirit, to preach to each of us that we hear your words and that we take them and we lay them at our feet to just grow into stronger followers of you. Just help us to live our life based on who you are, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Well, once again, good morning, everybody. As I looked at this passage this week, I recalled one of my first trips out of this country. I went to Italy, which wasn't a trial or tribulation because it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But I remember going there and encountering something there for the first time that I had seen, which there was traders who would be on the streets and they were selling what I call Fucci bags, fake Gucci bags. They would be selling these bags, and then along would come the police, and they would scoop them all off and just run off into the streets away from the policemen because they were fake. They weren't authentic. They weren't real Gucci bags. And today, in the passage that we're in, Jesus is going to question us and ask us, is our following of him real? Is it authentic? Or is it like those Gucci bags or those Rolexes that turn your wrist green? Not that I would know. I haven't had a fake one or a real one. But regardless, if you're visiting today, what we're doing is we are studying Luke chapter 6 in a sermon series we've called The Way of Jesus, that is the Sermon on the Plain, the parallel account to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. And we've been looking at how Jesus has painted a clear and compelling picture of what it means to be blessed by God, to be approved by God, by the statement of God that he approves those who, for example, are poor in spirit. He approves those who are hungering for his righteousness and just those who are followers of him who have need. And over again, Jesus has given this picture of what it means to be blessed, approved by God, and also what it means to flourish in the way of Jesus, what it means to actually follow him, take that blessing and approving of God and to live it out so that your soul and your life expresses the flourishing that was within the master himself. And so whether or not you've listened to all of those sermons, it doesn't really matter. You're going to get Jesus's final summation today. Now, at the end of Matthew's parallel account, by the way, I love what it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, that the crowds, when Jesus finished teaching, were astonished. And I think this is the right response. If you've been here for the last 3 months and you have heard the words of Jesus, not necessarily my words or Josh's words or anyone else's words, but when you look at Luke chapter 6 and the pure craftsmanship and wisdom and beauty and power of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain, I hope your response is, I am absolutely amazed at my master and teacher. There's no one like him. There's nobody who can teach like him, who can get to my heart like him, who can cause me to want to follow him, even though he promises me that it will be difficult. So I can personally say that I found myself over and over again saying, wow, Jesus, once again, you are amazing. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. And so I get the privilege of closing out our series today. And here's the big idea today for our sermon. The big idea is that following the way of Jesus is not about what you profess about Jesus, it's whether you obey Jesus. And this is not just something that I'm going to say to you today. This is not my sermon today. This is the sermon that Jesus gives, that as people are standing in awe and amazement, as people are listening to Jesus, he closes his sermon and he asks us a question. Now, I want to invite you today to listen to this sermon a little bit differently than you perhaps normally listen to sermons, and the way that I do as well. Normally, when we listen to a sermon, many times as Christians, we're habituated to this. We're used to sitting under the teaching of God's word, and it's easy to start to listen to a sermon to judge the words that are spoken. It's easy, of course, and that's needed. You ought to be like the Bereans in Acts 17, and you ought to make sure that there's no false teaching. But we also listen in a way where we approve or disapprove of the speaker. Where we say, oh, I don't like their style. I don't like their manner or their organization. And of course, you're welcome to your preferences. And I or anyone else might not be your cup of tea. But today, I want you to listen mainly to hear the words of Jesus and to listen to this sermon and do the very thing he asks you to do. Because these words are dangerous, actually. Matthew's account, the parallel account, actually tells us that the result of those who are following Jesus, but aren't following Jesus, who aren't authentic, who are like those fake Gucci bag sellers who will be arrested at one point, the result for them is catastrophic. And so more than any other sermon, I want you to listen today to Jesus' words. And he starts out in verse 46 with a question. Maybe you came here with many questions today. We all have questions about our life and where we're at and what's happening in the world and our own hearts and minds. But Jesus comes to us with a question. And if Jesus questions us, we ought to listen. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Now, I do want to say, by the way, nothing has changed in Jesus. He's still the same Jesus who said, blessed are you poor, blessed are you hungry. He's still the same Jesus who says, the Father in heaven is merciful, so give mercy. He's still the same Jesus with all these words from the Sermon on the Plain we've heard. But here he does come in his loving yet powerful way and ask us this question, why? Why do you do something? Does God have that right in your life this morning to ask you why? You see, this is actually, and the parallel account of Matthew, is a very good orthodox confession of faith. Lord, Lord. Right? In the Bible, many times there is a parallelism where if you say Moses, Moses, when God calls to Moses, or Abraham, Abraham, you're making the point that you know that person. And so this is an emphatic statement on behalf of those who Jesus is talking to at the end of his sermon. They are convinced that they are close to him and know him, and they say, Lord, Lord. It's an orthodox confession. There's enthusiasm behind it. It's a public declaration. But it's empty because it's not coming with obedience. Not coming with obedience. And I know we'll get to this. Some of you cringe at the word obedience, and I understand why. But Jesus says this here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? And see, this is the problem for us in this culture that we live in. The word follower means something different than it has for many generations, so to speak, many, many eons in one sense. The word follower today means that we follow people online. In our year, 2025, one person said that there are 127 million influencers online. And the question I would have for us this morning is, what if we follow Jesus like we follow influencers? And what do I mean by that? Well, when you follow an influencer, you kind of choose what you want to follow and what you don't want to follow. And then what happens is the algorithm, it kind of reacts to you. And then so all of a sudden you're just seeing all the things that you like. And you're like, yeah, I'll watch that. I'll watch that. I'll watch that. I'll follow this. I'll click a like here. This is what happens is that people follow Jesus like they follow influencers. With an influencer, you choose to hear what you want to hear. But Jesus, you have to receive everything he says as truth. With an influence you can like without it changing your life. Like, I mean, how many videos, memes, reels, whatever have you liked this week, and then it hasn't changed your life. With an influence, you skip the things you don't agree with, which Jesus, you should submit to him, even when it's uncomfortable. With an influence, you passively watch and you consume. With Jesus, he calls you to actively trust and live out your trust in him. An influencer gives you advice and that you can take or leave, but Jesus gives you commands to receive and to do. So do you see how, if we're honest today, whether you've been in church for 30, 40, 50, or more years, and you're used to hearing the words of Jesus over and over again, or you live in our culture today where you can hear things that you just take and leave, and ultimately you are the Lord deciding what you should hear, do you see how these words of Jesus could be relevant to us? Jesus frames this sermon, the entire sermon, with this application, with this question, and says, why are you not doing what I'm actually saying? To this great mix of people, disciples, people from Tyre and Sidon, we cover that at the beginning of Luke chapter 6, he says, here is the problem. So I want you to take a moment right now. I want us all to ask Jesus this question, or let Jesus ask you, excuse me, this question. Why don't you do what he says? Why? What are you not doing that Jesus has told you to do? In the clear general revelation of the Word of God or in his Spirit's application to your life, we should all have those things this morning where as we pause and let Jesus ask that question, we should be living in the light. Now, Jesus has already shown us what this way is that he wants us to follow. It's an embracing of the values of the world. It's aligning ourselves with him. It's a radical love that doesn't just love people that are reciprocal. I mean, I've been challenged with this recently. I'll tell you that. What? Like, I got up here and preached a few weeks ago and said, I don't really know if I have any enemies, and then all of a sudden I have an enemy. It's crazy how God puts the tests into your life. Jesus has taught that his followers will have an integrity, own up to their shortcomings, take the log out of their eye, judge then mercifully with other people. And finally, he's now teaching us that there is an obedience of him that's a growing desire to say, because you are my Lord and Master, I want to obey you. I want to get my life more in line with you, Jesus. And this is central to the teaching of the Scripture. You see, saying Jesus is Lord, Alistair Begg said, is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It's your doing that reveals the reality. Jesus said this all over. Look at John's gospel. There are statements over and over again. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. John 14:15. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. John 14:21. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. So here's what I'm trying to say this morning as we begin. I'm trying to say that Jesus has called us to obedience, and if we're to hear him correctly, that's the only way to hear him, is to be willing to bring our lives into obedience to him. Now, just as a side point, in Matthew's parallel account, Jesus tells this first parable, truly of the Gospels. When he does, he pulls from various pictures and from kind of the sage of Ecclesiastes, Psalm, and Proverbs, and he calls the person who doesn't do what he tells them to do a moros, which is where we get our word moron. So you could say that the subtitle of the sermon is, don't be a moron. I wouldn't want any of us to leave here today with that title upon our heads. So Jesus has made this clear, that from the beginning, don't say, Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you. And what I want to do as we dig into this today is I want us to examine it in three different ways. I want us to examine these two separate ways of life or following Jesus. I want us to examine it with the similarities of the two builders and houses in the parable that Jesus says, the differences of these two builders and houses, and then the outcomes of these two builders and houses. So before we do that, I want to look at, or excuse me, first I want to look at the similarities of the two builders in the houses. So let's just look here in verse 47 and verse 49. You can see that it's the same for both of these, that both of these builders in this hear and build. Okay? Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine. Okay, so everyone hears the words of Jesus. Now, I want to say that, like, you have all heard now the Sermon on the Plain. You all know the Sermon on the Mount. You know the words of Jesus. You agree with the words of Jesus. In fact, political leaders all over the world agree with the words of Jesus, mention the words of Jesus about humility, forgiveness, purity, honesty, trust, loving God, loving neighbor, loving enemies. And who would disagree with that? But as I said, that's not enough. And it's similar, but it's different. It's similar that everybody hears the words of Jesus, but Jesus says of the builder that actually does what he says, that there's a different way. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears me and does what I say. So there's a way of hearing Jesus is commending to us. Both hear, but not both hear. Both hear, but not both listen. Have you noticed that people are not very good listeners in our culture? I mean, that's easy for a preacher to say in the middle of a sermon, right? It's like, oh, you guys are bad. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, have you noticed that people are not very good listeners? Like, if you watch a news channel and you have two people from opposing sides and they're talking to each other, doesn't it just drive you crazy that they're not listening to the other person's point and they're not taking it in, examining it reasonably and faithfully, and then saying, like, well, you have a point here, but let me just say this. And, you know, that is our society. That is the human heart. This is why James tells us we ought to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God does not bring about the righteousness, or wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. And what Jesus does here is he's really telling us what real discipleship is like, hearing his word, living it, coming to Jesus, hearing his word, and living it out. So listen, this is part of what we do. We come to Jesus every week when we gather. We come to Jesus when we are alone with him. We come to Jesus when we're in community together. We'll talk more about that. And this, though, this gathering of Christians together is very, very important in coming to Jesus. Why do we gather every week? It's a 2,000-year-old tradition. Why are we launching publicly? Why do we care? We care because we come to Jesus when we're here. He's the center of this gathering, not me, not anybody else. Jesus is the center. And we're here to gather and listen to his word and say, well, there are no churchless Christians. There are Christians who put Jesus at the center, and we all gather together and say, Jesus, would you speak to us? And then we listen. Most of the people in this church that I've been aware of have been pretty good listeners to sermons. I'm thankful. I get comments all the time. Helpful, constructive criticism, and also encouragement, so I appreciate that. I will say that as a preacher, one comment I don't really like, I'll let you into my world. I don't really like the comment, like, hey, good sermon. Like, I don't really care. like, of course, I don't want it to be horrible. But I remember when I was a new Christian and there was this guy on KBXL, an old guy, he'd just be like, dear friends. And he'd read a Bible verse and I'd be like, wow, it's so amazing. I didn't need like a great orator or preacher. I just heard the words of Jesus. Now, you all are doing fairly well at that, but here's what I want to say. We could all grow in this, to hearing the words of Jesus. You know, pray before you come to the gathering. Pray for yourself. Pray for the preachers. Pray for your pastors. Keep your Bible open. Take notes. On your iPhone, that's fine too. Take 15 to 30 minutes in silence and solitude after the Sunday gathering and say, God, what do you want me to incorporate and hear from you by your Spirit of what all that I just heard? You know, take some time specifically to write down applications that during the week I'm going to do these things that the Spirit by his word spoke to me, right? So there is a way you can hear and listen. And I hope you do that. Each sermon should be like a book that you want to master. Each time you listen to God reading in the Word yourself. The problem, I think, is we have so much white noise and we're not actually listening. We're hearing podcasts, we're hearing multiple sermons online, but we're not in the context of our local church community hearing what God is actually trying to speak to us. Charles Spurgeon said, master the books that you actually have, read through them, bathe in them, let them saturate you, reread them, and digest them. And he says, one book thoroughly mastered is better than 20 books you've merely skimmed. And I think that's true in our hearing of Jesus through our time together. Like, listen, God has put you in this time, in this place, in this church to listen to this word, and so you ought to listen carefully. And then doing. This is discipleship. Coming to Jesus. Not trying to prove anything. This is not what we're talking about today. There's been a controversy about substitutionary atonement recently, and I'll say this, like, if there's no substitutionary atonement, there's no atonement. Jesus substituted himself for us. If I have to prove myself to live for the king, and by living for the king, I'm the one that's getting my obedience to Jesus. No, 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 that's not what we're talking about. You come to Jesus, you hear him, and then you do. And there's a beautiful story of a Korean believer that I read this week where he was discipled by a missionary who had, and he came to this missionary, he said, look, I've memorized this whole sermon on the plane. Remember, we tried to do that. I'm just going to admit, I did not get this done in this series. I need to go back and do it. But this Korean believer did that, and he came to the missionary and said, I memorized it. And the missionary cautioned him, like, hey, don't just memorize it. Now you need to do it. And the believer said, oh, yes, that's how I learned it. I read it, I did it to my neighbor, and then I found I could remember it. You see, maybe this is what Jesus is getting to the heart of. Maybe you can't learn God's word, hear God's word, because you won't do it. This is the problem Jesus is addressing in this sermon at the end. Are you listening? Are you doing what Jesus has told you to do? Now, that's the first similarity. Both here, both builders here. Second similarity is floods come to both of the houses. It says a flood arose and the stream or the river broke against it. Now, here's the reality. The picture that Luke paints along with Matthew is that this imagery is a river rising up and then beating against the house and consuming it due to a flood of a wave of water that's so powerful and incontrollable. Matthew gives a multiple front assault where it's winds, it's rains, it's all sorts of things happening here. And so here's the reality that the point that's being driven home is that life is going to, at some point, if it doesn't right now, feel like it doesn't let up. Can I get an amen? I'm sure you've noticed this. You feel like you're getting battered in life sometimes. One thing after another. You got 2 months to live with cancer. You get diagnosed with a different fatal disease. Your friend gets in a car wreck. You lose your job. You can't pay your bills. Friends betray you. Church hurts you. Storm after storm, rain after rain, flood waters rising. And this is where we cry out with the psalmist in Psalm 57, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful. For in you my soul takes refuge until the storms of destruction pass by. So Jesus is saying this is going to happen. And I think if we're honest, it can feel like that corporately, nationally, right? Like, look, do you guys remember, like, I just remember, I'm getting older, 9/11 happened, like this terrorist attack. And then I'm like, oh, man, then what happened next? Well, then we had, like, racial division, political strife, polarization, and then we had COVID, of course. Oh, yeah, let's not talk about that. Then we had all of these things happen. We had the bubble of national, we had different political leaders. People are, like, fomenting at the mouth about on both sides. It's like, man, can I get some peace here? You see, Jesus has promised us this, that he doesn't want us to build our lives on a faulty foundation of healthy bodies, happy families, successful careers, meaningful relationships, financial stability. Why? Because in all of these batterings and storms, both corporate, national, and personal, it's going to not be able to protect us when those storms come. You will have a family crisis. I don't know what it will be. We have. You will have a health diagnosis. You will get laid off at some time. You'll be betrayed. What then happens? A Scottish preacher, one time when he experienced the death of his wife, he wrote a sermon called When Life Tumbles In, What Then? And then he told his church when he finally came back to preach after it was all over, not over, but when his grieving process was moved on a little bit, he came to the church and he says, like, this truth that, like, hey, church, there's a roaring river taking place, but I've been there and I feel the bottom and it's sound. You see, you right now need to know that if you're experiencing a storm, God is well aware. If you are going to experience, and you are, that God is well aware, and that Jesus is able, if you listen to him and do what he says, to give you the type of foundation that will last and your life will not be destroyed, both temporally and eternally. The last and greatest storm that we'll all face is death and final judgment. That's actually what Jesus probably has in mind as well. So, those are the similarities. Now let's look at the differences. The differences of these two builders. First of all, the foolish builder doesn't build his house on a foundation. As I said, this moron, he hears and doesn't do what Jesus said. And by the way, if Jesus did say in Matthew's account, don't call anyone a fool or raca or anything like that, so we can't do that, but if Jesus calls you a moron, it's okay. Because this is what he's describing. Somebody who enjoyed the process, listened to Jesus, but doesn't put it into practice, and this can be us, by the way, moment by moment, if not a whole description of our life. And the contrast is that Jesus is making is not between Christians and those who are not, but people who say they're Christians and those who are true disciples. You could be a pastor, you could be a deacon, you could be an elder, you could be a church member for years upon years upon years, and you might not be a true disciple of Jesus. 1 John makes this clear when he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. We're so good at being talking heads in our culture. But Jesus says, no, if your profession doesn't match your lifestyle, it's not true discipleship. Now, to illustrate this, Francis Chan one time did a great sermon illustration I'm going to share with you this morning, and that is he talked about it in this way. What if when you went home from church today, right, if you have kids, you said to your daughter, like, hey, I'd like you to clean your room. Go do that. And she went, and she, like, was busy about, you know, doing something in her room for a while, came back and said, hey, did you clean your room? And she said, well, I really listened to what you had to say, and I thought about it, and I meditated on it, and it seems like a really good idea. You're like, no. Go clean your room. And she goes back, and she's gone for some time, and comes back again, and she says, hey, I did a study on what the word room is in Greek, and it's amazing. Do you know this? And she just kind of laid it all out to you, like, okay, great. Could you go clean your room? And then she came back and said, hey, I called some friends over. We did a layout of what a room would look like if it was clean, right? And we studied it intently, and we've got a design for you. Here it is. And also, we're going to meet every week and study what a room would look like if it was clean. I think you get the point, right? That none of those things is cleaning your room. And Jesus is saying that that's what the foolish person does. They're different. That's the difference. They hear Jesus, don't put his words into practice. Why? Why would you do this? That's what Jesus asked at the beginning. Well, maybe you won't listen to others. Proverbs 18:1 says that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wisdom. When self is your final authority, your ideas are best and nobody can tell you differently. Imagine someone approaching a building like, hey, are you sure you want to make the walls out of like construction paper? And he's like, I know what I'm doing here. Maybe he's just lazy. Right? We have that problem. Like, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly, it says in the Proverbs. And you know, we can say we're doing all these things and we're planning to do all these things, and it's not doing the thing. Preparing for the thing is not doing the thing. Scheduling time to do the thing is not doing the thing. Making a list of things is not doing the things. Telling people you're going to do the thing is not doing things. Messaging your friends and who may or may not be doing the things is not doing things. Sharing a post or a tweet is not doing the thing. Hating yourself for not doing the thing is not doing the thing. Hating other people because they do the things and you don't do the things. Fantasizing about all the adoration you'll get once you do the thing is not doing the thing. I think you get the point again. Here's the thing. This foolish builder could just be lazy, like we are sometimes. But I think really, ultimately, the difference is that he has no historical or eternal perspective. Here's a picture of a sinkhole in Florida. So horrific. I mean, imagine if that was your house, right? Some of you guys have been moving to Boise. You've been thinking about, like, oh, man, what kind of house do I want to have and all this kind of stuff. And man, you would think with all the technology we have, like, you would scan under there. You get the inspector to do it, right? But yet still these things happen over and over and over again. Sadly, we saw this summer in the floods in Texas where the Rio Grande, it floods a lot, and sadly we saw the tragedy of many of our Christian brothers and sisters, even kids and adults, dying because of the camp being built on the river. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have the camp there. I'm just saying that we see the tragedy, that, like, we can see the storm coming and we do something anyway, or we don't take measures to fix it. Sad. Now, here's the other difference. Now let's talk about the right one, right? We don't want to just focus on the negative. The wise builder has the right foundation. He really, truly knows Jesus. In Luke's account, it says that he dug deep. In the summer months in the sand around Galilee, it would be hard on the surface, but a wise builder knew he had to dig several feet below the surface to the bedrock in order to establish a foundation for his house. So the foundation has to go deep because we don't know how big the building that God is going to build in our lives and for his glory, and we don't know the storms that are going to come. That's a significant point, and this is what Luke is drawing out here. Like, it's been said in life that any great work takes a great preparation. You know, we were praying this morning for our kids' ministry in our pre-service meeting. Why? Because we're praying there is a deep work dug down deep in their lives from this time forward. This is why you should all serve in kids' ministry. Because you're helping people dig down deep and build a foundation. And guess what? It really matters. Yes, there are those that turn from the Lord. Yes, that is historically something that takes place. But should we not dig? I watched a video this week detailing the construction of the foundation of the world's tallest buildings, like the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. They took 170,000 cubic meters of soil and excavated it. They took 211,000 tons of concrete and poured it into the foundation. They took 15,000 tons of steel cages. 1 million man hours to work as a team to get this foundation right. I'm so glad, because if that building fell, it would kill so many people. I'm so glad people did that in this building. We actually had a crack in that wall over there that one of our engineer members saw one week and was like, hey, is this building going to be okay? And thankfully, we found out that the wise builders put reinforcement in the wall, so you're all safe. It's important. Digging down deep, hearing the words of Jesus, building on Jesus, not building on anything else. Jesus is, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:11, that there's no other foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you guys, like, take it from a 50-year-old, if you're younger. Like, all the stuff you're trying to build on, it's not going to last. So, also, it's the foundation of knowing and doing his word. Knowing and doing his word, that's what Jesus said. James tells us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, just to bring this into church life a little bit and where we're going, this admonition from James and from Jesus, this succinct summation of Jesus' message to do what he says, is why we've done the Sermon on the Plain. We've combined our two churches into one. We've merged together. We put the words of Jesus at the very DNA. And now what we're going to do, we're going to teach a series on our vision and our values to say this is how we want to live this out. Because guess what? We don't want to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the work. We believe that the vision of helping everyone find everything in Jesus and the values of making outsiders insiders, disciples making disciples, unity and diversity, being in the city for the city, churches planting churches, this is how we live out the words of Jesus and don't just become self-satisfied, deceived people who sit in church gatherings. I want to encourage you. Some of us, including myself, I had a bit of a pietistic past and then discovered more of God's grace. And I was like, you know, I was discipled early on, like, hey, quiet time every day. I mean, I remember, like, I took an internship. We would pray from like 6 in the morning till 7 in the morning every day. The pastor would knock on my door and be like, wake up, it's time to pray. And be like, shut up and go away. But I learned how to do that. And I grew in that. And I was disciplined in that. And then later, I realized that my heart had become kind of legalistic and whatever, and I was just like, man, but guess what? Then I was like, well, I pray all prayer all the time. I can talk to God without ceasing. Prayer, and I discovered the beauty of that rhythm approach. But then I can kind of get a little bit of an attitude about discipline and obedience and about doing the things, right, and actually studying my Bible deeply and actually digging in every day and making sure that I'm praying, not because I'm trying to prove myself to God, but because I enjoy Jesus and listening to him and talking to him and growing in him. We want to give you opportunities. We're going to do a parenting seminar, Lord. We want to do a class on the foundations of our confession of faith. We want to do our membership class in the new year. We want to really dig in deep and say, like, you should be hearing, you should be studying. We have, Marianne has prepared all these amazing Bible studies for the women. Like, dig in deep. And the primary way I want to encourage you this morning, because I believe it's the New Testament way and the best way, is be on the foundation of God and his people, together, in community. Ephesians and all throughout the New Testament talks about being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the whole church together. And I want to tell you, as Josh announced, we're going to have this gospel community kickoff on September 17th. And please, if you're part of this church, come be a part of it. We're not just saying these things like, hey, try this out. No, like Jesus and like we see the New Testament, we're saying this is the way to follow Jesus in community. Enjoy, be in relationship with other people and grow in all the things that Jesus has said to live and to do in that context. So finally, because I'm a little bit running out of time, the outcomes of these two builders. There's similarities, there's differences. The outcome, when Jesus says, is one stands and one falls. The test and the trial is going to come in life and at death. I don't know if you've ever been through yet the trial that God has planned for you. But when you go through it, you find out if you really love Jesus. When everybody forsakes you, you find out if you truly have this relationship with Jesus Christ and trust in him. When you lose all else, when you have no money, you find out that Jesus is your treasure. Jesus wants us to hear this morning. He wants us to, he comes to us and says, I really, really want you to build on a foundation. I don't want you just to call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say. Why? Well, for believers, 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15 says this, that if anyone builds on the foundation of Jesus with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test which sort of work each has done. If the work that anyone has done built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, only as through fire. You know, even if the house looked perfect and good your entire life, right? Like if you went to a house that didn't have a very good foundation, a house that did have a good foundation, you looked at them, they probably looked the very same. And so you could live your entire life that way, but Jesus is making it clear that at the end, and God's word makes it clear at the end, there will be a test for everything. Was it done in faith, hope, and love, or was it done in self, pride, and vanity? And the way you flesh that out is hearing the words of Jesus and applying them and doing them and watching the fruit grow now and watching the trials hit you now and being strengthened now. And that gives you more and more assurance now and more confidence as you approach that final judgment seat before God. That's what he wants for you. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. Now, just if you're here, you're like, I don't know if I know Jesus or not. I just want to encourage you, turn to him. The Bible says very clearly that at the end of the day, you will either fall upon this rock, Jesus, this foundation, or the rock will fall upon you. You'll be broken to pieces. You'll come to him in dependence and brokenness and cry out to him for mercy, or you will be crushed, sadly. In the end, there are two ways to live. We either obey the Lord and stand strong in his word, or we disobey the Lord and fall in ruin on judgment day. Obedience and blessing on the one hand, disobedience and ruin on the other. It all rides on whether you believe in and obey the great teacher, Jesus, the King. You have to decide if Jesus is telling the truth or not. And if he is, the only sane thing to do is accept him as Lord and to put his teachings into practice all the days of your life. As a church this morning, I want us to hear Jesus' question well. I want us to hear him say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do the things I say? Why do you call me Lord and then cause division and strife? Why do you call me Lord and have such unrighteous anger in your heart? Why do you call me Lord? But then I want us to see that this is the same Jesus. That this is the Jesus who's saying, not in a harsh tone, but in a loving tone, why? Because all I did for you is gave myself for you. I built the foundation. I laid down my life. I shed my blood. I rose from the dead to purchase for you this flourishing life that you can experience. And so we're going to take communion in just a moment. I'm going to pray for us, and then Heath is going to come up and lead us in that. And church, it's truly a simple message, and Jesus made this one application today. But it's his message. And so may we, by his grace, because we love him, say, Jesus, I want to do what you say. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the sermon on the plain. Thank you so much that as we finish this summer and this season of church life, we can hear your challenging words and know they come from a loving, good Savior King. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way that you are saving people and calling people and bringing them into your ways and your wisdom. Lord, I pray for anyone who is struggling because of the storms of life today that they would find their foundation fixed upon you. I pray for anyone who needs to dig deeper and not be afraid of being truly, authentically Christian. I pray for those who, Lord, just are confused today, would you please meet them where they are? And might they find your words to be truth and your words to be life as they put them into practice. Ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast of Living Stones Church in Boise, Idaho. We hope you'll join us this Sunday as we gather for worship. For more information, visit livingstonesboise.com.